how can we go about defining financial goals and how we should realize them?
I mean, I think it comes down to just breaking it down to the basics, right? Like, what do you want your lifestyle to look like for yourself now in the future? And what do you want the lifestyle to look like when you pass, when you die?
I've learned so much over this first year of podcasting, and I wanted to share with you guys the 10 most life-changing lessons that I have learned this year. So I created a document, and it's on my website. What you're going to do, you're going to go there. It's going to be 10 life-changing lessons. Click on that button. It'll ask for your email address so I can email it to you. Sign up for it, because these life lessons radically changed the way I viewed my life and the way I started living. It helped me to get better in the areas that I've so desperately wanted to see progress and growth in. And because I know they helped me, I really believe that they will help you. And I wanted this to be a gift for you guys. So I really hope you enjoy this gift and go to the website, thewholepersonpodcast.com, to get it. It's free. And I hope you guys enjoy and learn as much as I did from it. Today on the Whole Person Podcast, we have Daniel Blue, not to be mistaken for Daniel Red. He is a regular contributor to Forbes.com and is the owner of Quest Education, a company that helps entrepreneurs obtain capital for their companies, pay off high interest debts, and make money tax-free using self-directed retirement accounts. Under Daniel's leadership, Quest Education has reached seven-figure mark in just 2 years. He's done it consistently and is in all 50 states. His story is unique in a sense that he had a daughter when he was 19, and he overcame an addiction to OxyContin, which I hated OxyContin when I was on it, at 20 years old. Those two life-changing moments helped shape the man who Daniel is today. Daniel, welcome to the Whole Person Podcast. How are you?
I'm good, Evan. I'm good. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
No worries, man. Man, OxyContin, some pretty powerful stuff there.
Man, I consider myself blessed. I was pretty heavy into it in 2007, 2008, and I got clean right around 2009, 2010. And I'm just grateful that I was doing drugs back then. Now you read people overdosing on fentanyl, and it's just these drugs have just evolved. And it's really sad to see the situation out there. Addiction is, it's real. I'm sure people listening, either a friend, family member, someone in their circle they know has been, you know, down that dark path. So it's real life.
Now, I always get confused here, so forgive my stupidity and ignorance. Is OxyContin the prescription that, like, a painkiller, or is that oxycodone?
Yeah. So basically, you know, you hurt your back or there's just some pain you're experiencing, depending on the pain level, they're going to give you maybe Loratab, maybe Percocet. Those are pills that are not as strong. And then the oxycodone, that's in a separate family. And that stuff's just hardcore. It's basically heroin in a pill.
Wow. Yeah, no, so I had knee surgery a few years ago. And whichever one they gave me, it caused me my heart started racing. And I legitimately thought I was going to have a heart attack. Like, I did not like it at all. So no joke. I think once I realized, because I thought it was anxiety, but once I realized it was the pills that I was taking, I stopped taking painkillers like the day after knee surgery. Like, I couldn't handle it. And so it was something, but it made my heart race. And so I thought I thought I was having a heart attack. Anyway, enough about that. Daniel, tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are and your background.
Yeah. So, I grew up in a family with a mom and a dad, lived in a cul-de-sac, middle class family in California. And then, things really changed for me when I was 12. When I was 12, my parents got divorced. But what made the situation unique is my dad ended up moving to Mexico. So from the age of 12 on, I was raised by my mom. My mom was a social worker, worked all day, wasn't home much, leaving me at home. And I started running the streets and making bad choices and just was a knucklehead during middle school and high school and barely passed. and didn't really have ambition or goals, didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. And then I signed up for college, right? That's what society tells us to do, go to college. And just by networking, I was able to land a sales job at 18 years old. And I did not grow up wanting to be in sales. That was not something on my radar. But I ended up jumping on the phones and just smiling and dialing, and was able to excel in sales, and was able to go from, you know, a setter pounding the phones on the front line to becoming a closer, then having my own team, and then running the sales floor, and was able to evolve. And I'm 32 years old today, and I own a company with 14 employees. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada. And our mission, what we do is we help people access money in their retirement accounts, penalty and tax-free.
That's awesome. And so let's just dive into that, because it's my understanding of retirement accounts that it's very hard to access money from that without it being penalized. So what are the parameters or aspects that you help your clients with to be able to do that?
Yeah, so if there's a 401k from an old job, let's just say you worked corporate, you saved money in a 401k, and you left that job. You're no longer tied to that employer anymore. That 401k, you can actually take and you can transfer it, you can convert it into what's called a self-directed retirement account. And then from there, you have a lot of options on where you can invest the money. Maybe you want to invest into private lending or private companies, private equity. Maybe you have a firm. I'm sorry?
Bitcoin?
Yeah, crypto all day long. Precious metals. Maybe you want to purchase a piece of property, maybe some land, maybe a single family house and flip it. So you could do all of these different cool transactions within your retirement account, as long as it's self-directed and it can be done without triggering a taxable event. So it can essentially grow tax-free or tax deferred, however you have it set up. So if it's a 401k from an old job or an IRA, either of those accounts technically can get converted into a self-directed account.
That's awesome. So let's pretend that I don't have an IRA or a 401k.
I talked to a lot of people. I think we're chatting about this. You know, we deal with a lot of entrepreneurs, and I think everyone knows an entrepreneur that has the mentality of my retirement account is my business, right? Like they're putting everything into their business, and you can hit home runs that way, right? I mean, you can really set yourself up for the future. You could sell that company and realize a gain of millions and millions and millions of dollars, right? But at the end of the day, it doesn't hurt to have dollars in other places. And retirement accounts, they have a bad rep. I would say more so like 401ks with a job. I hear a lot of people are like, man, 401ks are a scam. You know, they're worthless. They suck. And if you're at a job, yeah, I mean, it just comes down to how is that 401k set up? Do you get a good amount of options to invest? Like, do they give you different ETFs or stocks or mutual funds? Like, is it a big menu or is it small? Like you said, do they match? If they do, how much? So you want to find out some of that information before you make an opinion. I always think it's a good idea that people, especially if they're younger in their 20s, start now. I would highly take advantage of a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k. Roth just means the money that you put in the account, you pay taxes on it, you claim it as income, but then that money grows tax-free. So let's just say you put $5,000 into Tesla stock in a Roth IRA, and you just follow me for this example. And then let's just say 20 years from now, that $5,000 were to grow to $50,000. Now that money is 100% tax-free. So you paid taxes on the seed, but you didn't pay taxes on the harvest. And I'm a big proponent of Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks, because I'd rather pay taxes now. I don't care if you voted for Trump, voted for Biden. I think we all could agree, no matter what your political affiliation is, taxes are not going to be going down over the next 3, 5, maybe 10 years, right? So I'd rather pay taxes now and avoid that huge tax hike that is inevitable.
There's only one political party that loves taxes. That's how they make their money. Not the party, but the government.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm having a little fun with that. If you're a Democrat, don't cancel me. I'm just giving you guys a hard time. And so for me, I started a Roth years ago and I put $100 in it and I've actually never looked at it since. But I recently this year started putting money into crypto versus a Roth IRA, more than anything, just for the gains. And that way that I have access to it, because you were talking about something that that's near and dear to my heart. It's self-directed. And with the way that I'm wanting to set up my lifestyle is I want to be able to move it from, if not a 401k, sorry, from crypto to land to whatever strategy I want to use at the time, because I don't want to be stuck in one box. And so how does a self-directed IRA kind of work in that scenario? Like if I'm not rolling anything over and I just, let's say I take all my money. I'm going to make up a fictitious number here. Let's say I got $20,000 and I put it in a self-directed IRA. And then, you know, the price of Bitcoin drops low. Am I able then to take that money out of that self-directed IRA and put it in crypto?
Yeah. So without getting too much in the weeds, I always think it's a good idea that people have two buckets of money. They've got their retirement account money, and then they've got their non-qualified money. Non-qualified is just bank account money, not tied to an IRA, not tied to a 401k. Without getting too much in the weeds, an IRA and a 401k are the two main types of retirement plans. A Roth IRA and a Roth 401k, there are some ways to pool the money out without having to pay penalties and taxes. There are ways to do that. But just for the sake of this conversation, I think it's a good idea to have money in two different buckets, because let's just use you as an example here. You've got money in crypto, and if I followed you correctly, that money is not tied to an IRA or 401k, right? So if you were to sell and realize that gain, you're going to have to claim that as income. There's a taxable event that's triggered.
You technically as the government. No, I'm just kidding.
So you technically could do that same investment, crypto investment, held inside of a self-directed IRA or 401k. And if you sold, there is no taxable event that's triggered. And then now that sale that takes place, it now turns into cash inside your IRA or 401k, and then you can move on to the next deal. But just calling a spade a spade, if you have money in a non-qualified account that's not tied to an IRA or 401k, it's going to be easier for you to access your money. When you take money out of your back pocket, it's going to be easier. That's the pro. The con is every time you take money out of your back pocket, Uncle Sam is knocking at your door. Yeah. And that's why I like to have money in both buckets, because my retirement money, I can access it in some ways. There's some caveats without paying the penalties and taxes, but it's not as flexible as my non-qualified money. However, I'm not having to claim it as income. There's no taxable event that's triggered. So you want to use both, in my opinion.
Okay. So in a self-directed IRA, let's say I wanted to buy a homestead and have 10 acres, 20 acres, whatever, and have like a micro farm or whatever. Would that be considered an investment?
Yeah. So this is where you walk into the territory of prohibited transactions. So your retirement account cannot actually own a piece of property and then you live in it.
Okay.
You can't rent it out to lineal descendants. You can't do any of the rehab on your own. You have to hire a third party. So there are some restrictions. I always tell people it's a lot easier if you're going to do real estate inside of a self-directed account, it's a lot easier. It's set up to be so much easier if you're doing passive investments. If you're just a part of a syndication, maybe you invest with Grant Cardone or your buddy that flips houses, like you're just a bank. You're just lending money, private lending, syndication, and that's just easy peasy. As soon as you start doing active deals, like buying a property, trying to flip it, rent it out, it can be done. It's just there's going to be more rules you have to follow per the IRS.
That makes sense. So let's talk about where we're at as a country financially, because one of my concerns with putting money in a IRA, Roth IRA, other investments that are specifically backed by the US dollar right now, is that, you know, we've seen a rate of inflation of about 25% in the last 100 days, you know, in 2021. And that's very concerning to me. I know we've seen inflation on and off through obviously the US existence, but what a lot of people don't know is that there was a time where it was a colonial dollar, where America went through hyperinflation, and then that money became invalid and not useful. It was just paper. And we're on the same track to having that happen again, especially with how much printing is going on. And so what we've done is, you know, my wife has her 401k through work. We have precious metals. And my other aspect is, well, instead of me putting in a 401k or Roth IRA, put it in crypto. That way it's a digital asset, because I don't want to buy a bond. I don't want to, you know, I want something that's decentralized that can't be manipulated by more printing. Although Bitcoin is still very manipulated by tweets from Elon Musk and other individuals. But, you know, I think the sky's the limit for digital currencies here in the near future. What are your thoughts with what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at, there's only so many places where we can invest our money, right? We can leave our money under the mattress, but then we both know what's going to happen, right? You got taxes, you got inflation, so that's not helping. And then you have other places to invest your money. Most people are familiar with the stock market, and I'm not here to beat up on the stock market. I'm just not a big fan of having my money in the stock market because there's just so much out of my control. Mm-hmm. However, I'm a big proponent of alternative investments. And if we're investing in alternative ways, such as crypto, precious metals, you know, maybe real estate that is geared towards a certain sector, and you know, maybe like assisted living, you know, maybe there's people listening right now that think there's a big demand in the healthcare space, the, you know, the retiree space.
And it's only going to get more actually because of the baby boomers.
Exactly. So, you know, inflation is most likely going to happen. I think we all knew it was going to take place. So it's just a matter of knowing, okay, how can I combat this? And if you have an IRA or 401k with Fidelity or Vanguard or TD Ameritrade, you're just limited to stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, REITs, bonds, right? That's the only arena that you can play in. And that's why a lot of people gravitate towards a self-directed retirement account, because they're like, oh shoot, I can use my retirement account to invest outside the stock market, because I think this industry, that industry, and this other industry can combat inflation. I'm in, I'm game. It's just, this is not taught. Financial advisors and CPAs, they don't teach people the self-directed retirement account arena. And it's not like it's some brand new retirement account that just came out last year. I mean, this has been around for decades. It's part of the IRS code. This is 100% legitimate for reasons that are tied to money. It's just not talked about by Wall Street.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what have I not asked you that I should have asked you by now?
I mean, you did mention that there's people on here that are entrepreneurs listening. I would say, and I'm just going to use this based off of our existing clients. You know, I've got clients in all 50 states. A lot of my clients are entrepreneurs. A lot of them are just getting started. And the idea of being able to tap into their retirement account penalty and tax-free, once they learn, it appeals to them. When maybe they need extra capital for their business. Like one of our clients, she is crushing it with Amazon. She's selling a bunch of different product, beauty product, just different inventory that she's able to sell. And she uses her retirement account to purchase product, flips the product, makes money, right? So she's not going into debt on a 20% interest rate credit card to fund her in her business. She's using her retirement account. And her line of thought is, well, I would rather use some of my retirement account dollars to invest in myself. At least I have more control versus having my retirement account invested into this stock that I have no say in. So that's her train of thought. Maybe someone listening to this right now, the idea of accessing $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 in capital to help your business get started or help your business scale, and you have a 401k from an old job or an IRA, maybe that's hitting home right now. I also can't tell you enough, Evan, how many people we talk to that have $50,000 in a retirement account that's making them 6-8% a year in the stock market. Meanwhile, they have their credit card debt that's costing them 20% interest.
Yeah.
And that's scary, because if you're losing 20% on your credit card debt and you're only making 8% on your money, you're losing money faster than me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So when we explain the strategy of accessing money from your retirement account penalty and tax free, we have a lot of clients that will have a light bulb moment where they're thinking, well, it makes a lot of sense for me to take this money that I'm only making 6% and take this retirement money, maybe 20,000, however much they owe in credit card debt, take that 20,000 from the retirement account penalty and tax free. And then they pay off their credit card debt in one shot. So now they're not losing 20% interest. Their credit score goes up because their utilization rate went down. And then the money they took out of their retirement account to pay off their credit card debt, they're actually replenishing their retirement account. So they're actually paying themselves back. So they're not going to have so much opportunity cost. They're not going to raid their future, so to speak.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it just comes down to what people's goals are.
Let's say we have someone who wants to be wise with their money, but their financial goal is to be financially free. But other than that, they don't have much else. So how can we go about defining financial goals and how we should realize them?
I mean, I think it comes down to just breaking it down to the basics, right? Like, what do you want your lifestyle to look like for yourself now in the future? And what do you want the lifestyle to look like when you pass, when you die, right? I mean, I've had clients tell us like, hey, for my beneficiary, for my $1 million IRA, I don't want to leave my family shit. And hopefully I can cuss. Like, they leave their money to a trust or a charity. Like, they don't care so much about legacy. They're not trying to leave stuff behind. And then I have other clients that want to leave money behind for their families, right? So I think that's important to define, is what your lifestyle, what do you want that to look like for you while you're on this earth? And then, is that something that you want to consider when you pass, right? Death is inevitable. And people need to think about that in terms of when they pass, their kids or their grandkids or their siblings, and just being okay with where you're at now and realizing, okay, do I want to maybe live more within my means and save more now so I can have a better future? And then there's other people that are thinking, well, shoot, you know, I don't think I'm going to live past this age. So I want to be able to go on this cruise and go visit
those
this country.
The people that always live the longest.
I know, right?
My grandmother, she was a chain smoker, like heavily smoker. And she died in her late 80s, not from smoking, from dementia. And it was just, dude, like she just, now I'm not saying that if you're a chain smoker, you're going to live in your 80s, but I'm just saying, like, she looked terrible, but
she's still smoking.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. She gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so let's say you start defining your goals and what you want to do. I think probably the next step is, I mean, want to take action. You know, I recently had a lady on who talks about legacy planning and to come up with a will and a trust and, you know, to go down that route. That way, if something were to happen, that there are plans drawn out. And what I didn't know, but here in the state of Oklahoma, if we die, my wife and I, and there's no plan for our kids, guess who gets to decide? The state does.
Yeah, I mean, that's so important. So our company really stays in our lane. You know, what we do really, really good at and what our mission is to educate people on self-directed retirement accounts and helping people set those accounts up. But what we've found over the years is there's people that have a lot of financial needs, and we want to be able to help those people in the best way. And what we have found is building a trusted network of referral partners, affiliates, that we can introduce our clients to. So, you know, we do work with a referral partner out in the East Coast. He's an attorney. He does estates, trusts, wills, and you hit the nail on the head. Like it's scary. If you pass and you don't have your estate planning in place, now your assets are being tied up with the government. And now the government, we all know the government doesn't operate like the Chick-fil-A drive-through line, right? They're not that efficient. So dude, they're going to take a long.
You know why Chick-fil-A has such a great drive-through? It's because of God. Or heavenly. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
they have divine intervention. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I imagine they would be having a lot more revenue if they were open on Sunday. But hey, it works for them, and they've got a great business model. I love going there.
Oh yeah, I love it. They got great food.
Yeah.
Well, man, you have a podcast called How Winners Win. Tell us a little bit about why you created that podcast.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of parallels between business and sports. I think people listening could probably relate. Maybe you played baseball, maybe you played basketball, football, and business is the same, right? There's losing, there's failure, there's learning to work with others and communication, and there's also winning. And part of winning is going through adversity and challenges. And I just felt compelled to be able to bring information to the public, and podcast is a great way to get people to kind of get a sneak peek and a better understanding of what we're doing as a company. I try to keep it real, raw, authentic. You know, I'm 32 years old. I don't have it all figured out, but with 14 employees and clients in all 50 states, you know, I go through a lot of challenges, right? Yeah. Hiring, culture, operations, systems, marketing, sales. And then obviously we're experts in the financial space, but I didn't want to have a podcast where I just talk about self-directed retirement accounts. That I feel like that would just bore people. So instead I wanted to talk about just self-development. Yeah, exactly. Just want to talk about, you know, issues and challenges and adversity that people face on a personal level and then also a business level, and be able to, you know, help people get that much closer to developing a winning mentality and just help them win more.
You bet, man. Well, I like to end each show with the same three questions. Okay. I'm going to rapid fire these. Okay. I want the first thing that comes to the top of your head. All right. In terms of negative self-talk, what do you currently struggle with?
I look terrible on camera.
Gotcha. Yeah. I feel you.
Yeah, if I had your glasses, I'd feel better.
They need optical. Do you wear glasses?
No, I don't. Just sunglasses. I don't have glasses just yet. Knock on wood.
Right. Yeah. What brings you peace?
The gym.
Define that more.
Why? Waking up at 4 or 5 a.m., going to the gym, get my workout in. That's where I can just zone out, either listen to podcasts and Audible. So if I'm feeling a different kind of mood, I'll put on some music, get my workout in. It just gives me time to just have clarity and just not be in the chaos, right? I'm in the moment, and I get done working out, then I go to the pool, do my sauna, shower, walk out feeling like a champ.
Dude, it sounds like you and I have a similar regime, except the 4 a.m. part. I'll go work out, I'll go swim, I'll get in the hot tub, I'll go to the sauna, and then I go home.
Isn't that, so are you dry sauna or steam room?
Steam.
Okay. So I like to start off with the steam, and then I'll go in the dry sauna. And, but yeah, isn't it great?
Oh, dude, I love it. I really, really do. I haven't been back to, I went back to the gym today, first time in 2 weeks. And, just kind of got off track for a few weeks, but man, it's like I started swimming again. I was like, wow, this isn't like riding a bike. Like I have to, you know, I was doing 20 laps. I could barely get 10 in today. It was exhausting, but that's after already a full workout though. Just keep in mind.
Yeah. Get it. Get it. I love it.
So just out of curiosity, what is your sleeping schedule like? If you're waking up at 4 a.m., are you pretty consistent at that time?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. On the weekends, I'll go to the gym about 6. So on the weekdays, I'm there at about 5:15. I'm in bed early, man. I'm in bed right about 9 to 10 o'clock. That's my bedtime. Even on a Friday night, Saturday night, 9 to 10. That's my sweet spot.
Gotcha. Are you boring?
Am I boring?
Yeah.
I guess I could be a boomer, so to speak. I get the Wall Street Journal delivered to my house every day. So I like to actually touch the paper and read it. I wouldn't call myself boring, man. I got a 12-year-old daughter. She keeps me on my toes.
I got three boys, 6, 3, and 7 months.
So I'm a goofball, you know. I try not to take myself too seriously. I'm driven, man. Like, business is a game, and I'm trying to win. I'm trying to be the best version of myself and always grow and deliver value to the marketplace, my clients, people that we could possibly help, people that we could impact. So I'm pretty focused. Some people might call it boring because I'm not at the bar on a Friday night, but that's cool.
People can do. I agree with you because I'm very much the same way. I struggle with waking up at 4 a.m. But I live a very repetitive and boring lifestyle myself as well.
Yeah.
And I love it and I am okay with it.
Yeah. I think.
But you know what? And I was saying boring tongue in cheek because everything that you're saying is like a mirror. I mean, we have similar hair color. Yeah. You know, we're wearing the exact same color of shirt. Like, I feel like I'm almost looking into a mirror a little bit, except you look a lot better than I do in the camera. And I have white glasses, so whatever. But anyway, what's the best decision you've ever made?
Getting off drugs. That was huge. That was hard to do, but it's something that I'm grateful for every single day. I'm grateful for the addiction process because it taught me a lot. And then obviously, you know, people that are abusing drugs, they're just not themselves. They're, you know, living in a really dark place. So now I'm able to live a life I want to live and be able to chase my potential and be a better person. So that was hands down the best decision I made.
That's awesome, man. Where can people follow you?
So How Winners Win is our podcast on iTunes, Spotify. That's a great place to get some insight on the on who I am and what I'm about. You can always go to danielblue.me. Danielblue.me. That is my personal website. I've got a ton of information there. And then I'm pretty active on Instagram and Facebook. Again, my name is Daniel Blue, blue like the color. And I'm in Las Vegas. I am not aware of anyone else that's Daniel Blue in Las Vegas. So if you see someone by that name, I'm here to, here to entertain and inspire.
Well, it was funny that, you know, when I asked you if you're boring and you live in Las Vegas, Vegas is crazy. There's a lot of stuff there.
It is, man.
You get distracted. So kudos to you.
I appreciate that. I've been here 12 years. So people laugh at this story, but I was abusing drugs in St. George, Utah, about 2 hours away. And part of what helped me get clean is I decided to move. I left St. George and I decided I needed to change the scenery. Like, I tried to get clean 4 or 5 times and it just was not working. And I just said, you know what? I need to change the scenery. I need a new phone number. I need a new city. I need to be somewhere I don't know anyone. So I decided to move to Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City, to get clean. And been clean since.
Man, that's awesome. You ever go to Pawn Stars Shop?
No, I have not.
Dude, so I went there once and I met Rick. He wore loafer shoes that was like 3 inches tall.
Nice.
it was pretty humorous. man. So what's your favorite thing to do in Vegas?
It's a good question. Like, what I don't like to do is when friends or family call me and they're like, hey, let's hang out. I'm staying at MGM. I'm like, man, I'm not trying to go to the strip. So I try to avoid the strip as much as possible. Locals hate the strip.
Just because of how busy and chaos it is?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think if I were to answer the question, what I like to do in Vegas, it's not like what I do in Vegas is anything different than what other people can do in Cincinnati or, you know, Seattle. It's go to the gym, it's do some hiking, got some cool hiking spots. I like to golf. I'm not good at it, but I enjoy it. And yeah, business and family. It's pretty routine based life like you.
Yep. I hear you. I'm not so great at golf anymore after my knee surgery.
Oh shoot.
Yeah, it was, oh boy, no. I thought it would be like riding a bike and it was terrible. I was praying and spraying all over the course.
Hey man, I'm right there with you, brother. Right there with you.
Well, awesome, man. Thank you so much for joining the show today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for having me, Evan.
Take care. When I started this podcast, it was important for me to lead by example, that I wouldn't hide behind a fake mask acting like I've arrived and speaking from the mountaintop. My whole purpose was to be vulnerable about where I was, my failures, my struggles, and my successes, so that I could be a bridge, that I could be a gap in this process of showing people how to change in the areas of faith, family, finances, friendship, fitness, and fun, because that's exactly where I'm at and what I'm doing. And I had a coach years ago, and he was the first coach I've ever had. And he did it for a very affordable rate because I couldn't afford anything more than what he offered me. But he told me this, Evan, someday you're going to get in a spot where you're going to be able to give back to others. And I want you to remember what I'm doing for you here and now, that it's made affordable so that you can actually go through it. He goes, I believe in you and I trust that you'll do this. And so because of that, it resonated within me that at a certain point when I felt I've had enough hard knocks that I had something to offer other people, I would start a coaching program. And this is that. I am now starting a coaching program and I'm going to make it affordable because by the graces of someone else that helped me out when I was first starting my journey, I wanted to do the same for other people. So I'm going to offer a free 15-minute coaching phone call to anyone that wants it. You can go to the website, thewholepersonpodcast.com, and sign up for that free coaching phone call. And if you're looking to have a longer extended coaching relationship outside of that first 15-minute phone call, I have the prices right up front. I'm open about it. And I'd be more than happy to see if we'd work well with one another and can help you reach and achieve the goals that you have in life. Guys, thank you so much. I hope you enjoy the show.